Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
And we're just going to talk about it. You know, when I met Tony, my background, I grew up in a very large denomination, but really wasn't a denomination that taught the Bible. We had pictures of Jesus and things like that around, but didn't really know the scriptures at all. And then, so when I had met Tony, I'd come to know Christ and I was reading the Bible and I would just change my whole life. And then, and then we fast forward. So that was late 80s, early 90s. And then fast forward to 2022, you know, and Tony, you had discovered some things since we last talked about the grace of God. And that is what that's what saved all of us. But that's what changed my life. And I was just so thrilled and Tony is really gifted at communicating.
Yes, totally.
And articulating.
Totally.
And explaining.
That's a lot of pressure.
His faith.
But you can handle
it. Just be you. You'll be great. And I love the way you just share your relationship with Christ and the difference that. So just share with the listeners about how were your eyes opened to the grace of God.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about today, grace.
Yeah, so, you know, I became a Christian when I was in high school. A lot of folks maybe come to Christ at that point and then got to college, met some Christians there and felt God kind of calling me to plug in with them. And so I had a wonderful experience in college with other believers. As I went on though in life, I always kind of, you know, we live in a broken, fallen world. We have challenges from our upbringing. You know, I had a father who I loved. I had a pretty okay relationship with my parents, but my father was very distant. And when he showed his disapproval oftentimes by, giving me maybe the silent treatment, or maybe give me that look of disappointment, and I sort of didn't know where I stood, and I just kind of felt that distance. And so, as a believer, I think some of the roots of that carried on into my life. Well, I understood, kind of on paper, the grace of God. I understood the gospel. I believed it. But as I went on through my Christian life, I think I kind of I really struggled with guilt, shame, condemnation. I really struggled with seeking God's approval at times, even though I know, okay, I'm forgiven, everything's okay. But boy, you screw up enough times and you start to really wonder, gosh, where do I stand with God? Well, I began to hear some teaching, some messages about the grace of God. You know, just the basics of the gospel, that he's taken all of our sins away, that we have his righteousness, and it's a gift. It's not our performance. It's Christ's performance. Yeah. And about 2 years ago, a little bit before the time I met you guys, I had a point where all of this stuff that was floating around in my head about the grace of God, it clicked one day. And by faith, I believed. I was feeling this pressure to, I've got to get in the Word more. I've got to pray more. I'm not doing enough.
Right.
I've got to jump through all these hoops to make sure that I'm on track with the Lord. Mm. And it was like the Lord said to me, Tony, stop.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cease striving. Know that I'm God. Be still. Know that I'm God. Uh-huh. It is finished. Everything we know about the gospel, it was coming back to the cross and understanding my forgiveness. And when I began to really believe that and with all my heart and grasp that, I experienced a freedom like I've never experienced before.
Awesome.
And I began to spend time with God out of gratitude and out of joy, and the fruit of the Spirit began to really come out of my life, and it became an effortless thing.
That's awesome.
It was amazing.
That's awesome.
And there was such a shift. And I, you know, I made a note of a little analogy. You remember back about 20 years ago when high definition TV came out?
Right.
Oh,
HDTV.
Yeah. So, you know,
that's what that stands for.
And I'm a sports fan. I'd go into the store and I'd see, you know what regular TV looks like, but you go in and you see these high def TVs and you see your favorite sporting event and you can see the blades of grass and you can see every little detail of the players. You go, oh my gosh, this is amazing.
Right.
I think that's sort of similar for me in my Christian life. I sort of had a black and white TV with the rabbit ears that I'm trying to shift around. And I understood the gospel, but it was a little cloudy. And when I got that revelation of really understanding and believing the grace of God, it was like 4K, 8K, call it whatever you want.
That's awesome.
Clicked in, and there was such a clarity. And I began to open up God's word and see it with different lenses, with different eyes. Verses that I'd read 1,000 times came to life. And I would, you know, I don't want to get emotional here, but I can remember taking communion and just being so broken, but in a good way, by the love of God and by taking personally what Jesus had done on the cross for me.
That's awesome.
And feeling the love of God in such a powerful way. And so that's, you know, I don't want to rant too long, but
those are
a few just thoughts on my story and where I'm at. And I continue to discover and learn, and it's just wonderful. Joy has come back to my Christian life, and I'm so grateful. It's wonderful. So those are some of my thoughts just to get us started.
That is wonderful.
I love that. That's an excellent analogy, you know, because you don't know what you don't see because you're not seeing it.
You're not seeing it, right?
And you think it is a black and white with rabbit ears.
Right.
You know, and then his grace opens our eyes like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You know, and now everything changes. And I love the word you use, effortless.
Uh-huh.
That's a word that religion freaks out at. It's like, what are you talking about, effortless? But it's the way that fruit grows.
Yes.
You know, I have never, and I, you know, my whole life ever seen any kind of fruit or produce struggling to grow.
Right, exactly.
You know, it just does
it. It's doing its thing.
As long as it's connected to the source, you know,
and
that's what it does. And it's really, that's what the life that we've been given in Christ, just to abide in him and fellowship with him. And all of a sudden, you know, who he is begins manifesting and showing up in our lives.
That's so good. I mean, you had said that about the fruits of the Spirit. I often have relayed, Tony, that before understanding grace, the fruits of the Spirit were something to, as a checklist, you know, something to make sure you're putting into effect, you know, make sure you're showing that love, make sure you're showing that joy, make sure you're having patience.
Yeah.
It was a checklist that was like always kind of hanging over your head. After grace, you're right. This is the fruit, the what's produced because of our salvation and joy. You mentioned that being a principal one for you. That's amazing.
Absolutely. I really agree with you. I think of the verse, you know, I've read it 1,000 times, walk by the Spirit and you'll not carry out the desires of the flesh.
Yeah.
And on the surface, I would just think, gosh, walk by the Spirit. Okay. Do the right stuff. Don't do the bad stuff. And you know, and you won't sin or whatever. I'm like, there was this simplistic attitude and really it's so much deeper than that. It's living by your Spirit. It's your spirit, man. Messages that you guys have been talking about. You know, and then in Christ, we have a new spirit.
Yes.
And we have the Holy Spirit. And so walking in that versus walking in self-effort, focusing on our own performance is the way that we live and the way that fruit effortlessly flows out of our lives. Mm-hmm. It's an amazing thing. And I see so often, even in the church today, when you remove that, it becomes about performance, and there's a sin consciousness rather than a Christ consciousness.
Yes,
where people are trying to jump through hoops to manage their struggles, manage their anxiety, manage their fears.
Yep.
When Christ, you know, it sounds cliche, Christ is the answer. Yeah. Focusing on Him.
Yeah.
He is the answer. The verse came to mind. I think in the Psalms it says they looked to him and their faces were radiant.
Yes, that's right.
You know, I mean,
yes,
it is all about him.
Yes,
it's all about him.
Yes, the last part of that, their faces are never covered with shame.
Never covered with shame.
That's never right. covered with shame.
That's right.
And
I think we can all relate to this because kind of obviously all of us know we've missed it.
Yeah.
You know, at some point in our lives, and we can deal with that in different ways. We can try and ignore that, cover it up, get involved in things. But underneath it all, we all know that we missed it.
That's right.
And, and at some point, and if we do choose to come to Christ, maybe through a church or a ministry, you know, we will give our lives to Christ, but then what often happens is it becomes worse than before we gave our lives to Christ, where there's this pressure now, okay, you were forgiven, now you better get your act together.
Right,
you
know, right, now,
right.
And I'd like to tell you, I mean, I've been walking with the Lord since the late 80s. I'd like to tell you I'm never a jerk, but sometimes I am. You know, sometimes I say things I wish I wouldn't have said. I act in ways I wish I wouldn't have acted. But this is what's amazing about God gave us his righteousness.
Yeah.
He didn't just wipe our sins away, you know, for a moment so we can get in and then, you know, get us into this rigorous training program that we better not mess up in. He actually gave us a new nature. And you can't lose that. You were made righteous by the power of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. He just like Jesus was conceived in the womb of a virgin, your spirit was made new by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's who you are. So it's not a question of when we don't behave in a godly way, it's not a question of, you know, that we lost our salvation. Mm-hmm. It's a question of knowing who we really are, that we are a different creature now. And you begin to live by that, the knowledge of your new identity, and your behavior changes. And what religion does is focuses on your outward behavior, tries to change your behavior, which never works. You have some temporary successes, but then something else shows up. But what Christ came to do is give us a new identity.
A new nature.
A new nature. Mm-hmm. And when you live from that new nature, then you begin to walk in that effortless change.
Which is in the spirit man, as Tony said.
The spirit
said.
Man. Yeah, your exactly. new spirit.
New.
We're new creatures.
New
We're
creatures
new spirits.
In Christ. Amen.
And I know, Tony, you've heard often that phrase, a lot of believers will say it, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And that's an ignorant statement. You know, it sounds like it's humble, but it's not.
Right.
We all were sinners, but now we've been saved by grace. Now we're new creations in Christ. We're not sinners anymore.
You can only say that with reference, you know, to an understanding of the spirit man.
Absolutely.
That's the only way you can
Absolutely.
Say it. You know?
Absolutely.
So, so good.
Yeah. So I good. Think, you know, I've listened to, you know, a number of your messages, and I've referenced your no distance message before because I love that one. I think so much about the grace of God, and I one of the perspectives that changed in my life and has been so transforming as I've embraced the grace of God. We all know Romans 8:15-16. We've not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but we've received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father.
Yes.
Yeah,
and because with this understanding of the grace of God, understanding that I'm united with him, there's no distance, that all my sins have been taken away. Hmm. I'm able to, you know, when I have thoughts that are stressful, negative, lustful, whatever, rather than curling up in a ball going, oh man, I'm struggling and what does God think of me? I run to him.
Oh,
I say,
good.
Abba, Father, thank you so much that you love me. Mm-hmm. I declare who I am in Christ because there is no distance because of what was done at the cross.
And then
I am the righteousness of God in Christ. And so what a change in perspective that really drives us to God rather than causing us to do what Adam and Eve did in the garden, which is cover themselves up and run away.
And hide.
So
I love that.
It just brings joy back into the Christian life, and it brings, it's just a new way to live, and it's so much better because without the grace of God, we're in some sort of sin management self-help program, which
That's
every
it.
Religion on the planet
does
offers.
That.
Absolutely.
That's exactly
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Christian life is supernatural. It is life transforming.
Absolutely.
unlike anything else on this earth.
That's awesome.
And I like making the distinction between our spirit, our mind, our soul, our emotions, and our body. Because, you know, just because you have a thought or you're feeling a certain way, that doesn't mean that's who you are. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And when you understand that, wait a minute. So if I, like you mentioned, ungodly thoughts, well, they have no power over us unless you give them that power. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I have an ungodly thought pass in, or it enter my mind, no, that's not who I am. Mm-hmm. That's not going anywhere. Mm-hmm. And it quickly dissolves. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if I say, oh, no. How can I be having a thought like this? I thought I was saved. Right. I thought I'm a Christian. And that's what the devil does. He condemns you. He sends the thought to you. He shoots the fiery darts at you, and then he condemns you for having them. You know, he's very crafty. Mm-hmm. But you say, well, no, that's not, sorry, it's not who I am. Because your mind is just like a tool. It's like a TV doesn't really have any content in it. It's just, it's a piece of equipment that enables you to receive content. Mm-hmm. And your mind is like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's equipment, your soul, your emotions, it's equipment we've been given to receive content and process it. So when you realize who you are in Christ, you say, those channels are not an option.
That's right.
That's not who I am. Mm-hmm. You know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I wrote down 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We're destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
That's right.
I think these principles of the grace of God are so powerful against these battles in our mind, in our soul, our thought life. I mean, it's just total game changer.
Yeah.
But I think in that foundation, knowing that we're not condemned, knowing that we're united with him because of the work of the cross, because we have the gift of righteousness, you know, that for me is the starting point. Because if we have that, we know that we're united and there's no distance. Well, you know, we're with him. We can, you know, take off to the moon from
there.
Right.
Leap over the wall, run through a trip.
We're secure. We have nothing to be afraid of. And and you know, it's funny, after studying the scriptures, you know, and really most believers are Moses conscious, instead of Christ conscious.
True.
And I love John. Man, that's just so powerful. Just the very first chapter is such a revelation. But it says, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received. Mm-hmm. And verse 17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth didn't come by Moses. It came by Jesus Christ. Right. Jesus Christ brought this into the earth.
That's right. It wasn't here until he came.
Yes. Moses didn't do that. The stone tablets did not do that. It was, so Christ has come.
Yes.
And many believers don't realize what that means. Mm-hmm. Christ has come. Grace. And notice grace and truth go together.
That's right.
Right? Yes. Grace and truth go together. And when you, it's the grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. I love that acronym, that Jesus brought. I want to read a couple of scriptures as well from Romans. This is so good. It just sums it all up. Romans 3:21 says, but now, that's after Jesus, not at Mount Sinai, right? Where's Zion? We're Mount Zion. Mm-hmm. But now a righteousness from God apart from law.
Yeah.
Ah!
That's...
I mean, that's like illegal words right there.
Dangerous.
Like religion, you can't say that. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But that's what the gospel is. It's apart from law. Ah! Apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Mm-hmm. The law is perfect, right?
Yeah.
But this right, the law couldn't make us righteous. Mm-hmm. The law was righteous. Mm-hmm. The law showed us our need for Christ, and that was the point of it, to point us to Christ.
Right.
But now he's come. And the righteousness that the law was talking about has been made known. And the righteousness from God comes through faith
in Jesus
Christ.
That's right.
To all who do perfectly in life.
Nope, that's not what it says.
No, to all who believe, there's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. And that's not a one-day justification. That's forever.
Once for all. Right.
You're not Hebrews justified says, when you come into church and the next day you better
Hebrews
get
says,
everything
once
right.
Once for all.
Once for
once
all.
For all. Mm-hmm.
Once for all. Isn't that powerful?
That is so good.
One more passage. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
One more
passage.
Romans 5. I want to read
ahead.
This. This is so good. Verse 5. And hope does not disappoint us. Those who trust in him will never be disappointed, because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom he has given us. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes.
Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen. Amen.
Now look at the next verse. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Mm-hmm. So religion got it backwards. It's like, get in here, pray the prayer of salvation, and then get your...
Get
no,
work.
No, much... Now we're more free than ever.
That's right.
Now it's better than ever. Now we have more freedom. Where fear is gone. We have no concern about the wrath of God anymore. For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life?
Amen.
Not only this, not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.
I love that. Mm-hmm. Reconciliation, that's awesome. That no distance message
it's
again.
It's permanent. We've been permanently united with God
that's
through
so
Christ.
Good.
And no one can change that.
That's awesome. Man, that's right. Glory to God. Love it.
I'm a sports fan, but a lot of times when athletes, when they get into a slump, their coach will tell them to get back to the basics, get back to what you know, get back to the basics. And mm-hmm. I think as believers, I know for myself, you know, I've had this just revelation of the grace of God, and the Spirit is flowing, the fruits of the Spirit are coming out in my life. But there are times where if you're not renewing your mind, you start to lose focus on it.
Mm-hmm.
Anxiety
yeah.
starts to come
mm-hmm.
in.
Yeah.
Seeds of doubt, struggles, different things, whatever. And I'm reminded again and again to get back to the basics. Go back to the cross. Go back to what Christ has done for you at the cross. Go back to remind yourself of his love. Remind yourself that your sins have been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it really is. It's the three pillars: who Jesus is, what he's done for us, and who we are in him. That's why I love you, you know, Highway Church and what you guys do. But I think for any of us, you know, and I'm talking to myself here, when I'm in that place where the fruit's, you know, not ripening on the tree, it's dried up a little bit. That's when I know I've begun to put my focus on my own efforts,
yep.
my own struggles.
Yep.
Maybe prayer times turn into whining and complaining, and I leave prayer more discouraged than full of joy because I'm sin conscious instead of Christ conscious. And so I just want to throw that out there as a reminder, get back to the basics,
that's
get
great.
Back to the cross and, you know, continue to renew our mind with these truths. So
yeah.
Just a random thought that I think is important for all of us to remember.
Well, I just, you know, we shared that time with the same ministry on campus. And
right.
one of the emphasis in my life, even before getting there, was the Word of God. And I think the value on the Word of God, to be in it,
yes.
to share it
yes.
with one another. I remember coming to campus and people were sharing Bible verses with each other. And I was like, this is amazing. Like I while I was in the Word, you know, as a young person, in my church, I didn't remember anybody sharing verses with one another. And I just want to say thank you, Tony, because you always come full with the Word of God, and you always have a contribution. And again, we have to acknowledge it's not, I mean, you are wonderful, Tony, but it is the Word of God in you that you are giving to people, and always have a contribution, always have something that uplifts people. We have a monthly Zoom meeting that you've often joined, and I know that people are just encouraged by the Word of God that you deliver so faithfully. So I'm just thankful for that. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
so good.
Your encouragement to get back to the basics.
Yes, that's it.
And I want to say this to everyone listening. You know, it's kind of funny, but you come into the body of Christ, and you're kind of sometimes made to feel, okay, yeah, we know grace. We know God loves us.
Check.
But let's get to the deeper stuff. And you're not going to find anything deeper in the grace of God and the love of God. So it's not like, okay, yeah, I know grace. Now let me work on myself.
Right.
No, we want to fill our hearts, fill our minds with the realization of who Jesus is, what he's done for us. And it's a daily, just, man, we're soaking in the reality of his grace, of his love for us. You don't, you know, just push that aside. You want to stay with that.
That's right.
That's where the life is, growing in knowing how much he loves you and growing in that daily.
Mm-hmm.
His love is where every answer for your life is. That's it's not an immature thing. It's not like a simple little thing that we learn when we're kids and then we go on to the bigger stuff. The love of God is the big stuff. There's nothing greater. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing more transforming than growing in the knowledge of his love for you. So we always say at Highway, don't focus on your love for him. Focus on his love for you.
That's good.
When you begin to focus on your love for him, you start getting into works, a works mentality.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you focus on his love for you, you just begin walking with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
That's when faith comes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just it's like there's this response to his love.
That's right.
And all of it, you're not even conscious of necessarily the way you're living. You're conscious of him,
mm-hmm.
and the things you're doing are godly, and you're growing, but you're not thinking of those things.
Nope,
you're thinking about him and your relationship with him.
It's overflow.
Mm-hmm. It's just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
This is awesome, Tony. I'm so glad
that we connected. I'm so glad you bothered our vacation.
Yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. It's. I just wanted to throw in too there that, you know, that oftentimes the grace message, people hear the grace message and a lot of people will get fired up and say, no, you need to, you know, get, you know, repent of sin and all this other stuff. Well, sin is... The word says sin is a disgrace to any people. Sin will destroy us. The wages of sin is death. We all agree sin is horrible. We don't want sin in our lives. But it's focusing on Christ, and he clears out the sin in our lives. He changes us. He brings out the fruit of the Spirit. And so just wanted to throw in that we're all anti-sin.
Yes, that's exactly right. That's good.
Yeah.
That is very true.
But the path to freedom and victory is through Jesus, through him, through
absolutely.
His finished work.
You guys have probably seen it, but I always think of the illustration of that that you've seen at different places, but like a water in a glass and it's dirty. Mm-hmm. But the more you put the clear water in, eventually it overflows and the clear water fills. So
that's it.
We just, same thing, you know, it flushes out as we fill ourselves with the truth, the knowledge of what Christ has done for us. And as we allow that to fill us, all the stuff gets displaced.
Absolutely.
Really.
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
Isn't it true too, that in kind of going along those lines, I've noticed for myself that as I'm walking in the grace of God and I'm so full of gratitude for what he's done for me.
Yeah.
that pours out
yeah.
into the relationships around me.
Yes, it does.
My love for others grows exponentially. And that is a beautiful thing, you yes. know.
Yeah.
Jesus said, by this all men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Mm-hmm. And so that love is a fruit of the Spirit, and it comes out naturally. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a wonderful,
it's good.
Wonderful byproduct.
That's good.
Love it. Mm-mm. This has been very refreshing.
Very rich. As always. Very rich. As yes. always, yeah.
So we're thankful for who you are, Tony, yes. and all that you've come to know in Christ, and you're really someone special.
Absolutely.
And thanks for spending time with us this morning.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Appreciate you guys. Appreciate your enthusiasm. You know, there's a reason why you are constantly talking about how good God is. You know, some people might think, man, he's always saying that. Well, there's a reason.
Yeah.
Because really, the goodness of God, the grace of God, the love of God, that's the starting point. I mean, that's the gospel.
Yes, yeah. It so, is.
Yeah.
Yes, it
keep
is.
Keep preaching it, brother.
That's awesome. Good. You too. Yes, yeah. you too. Yeah. You too. That's
hey,
right.
we bless you, bro.
Yes.
Yeah, great
Thanks
to
for joining us. Great to see you.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Talk to you soon. So awesome.
I want to just kind of bring this to a close this morning by looking at one of my favorite people in the scriptures. We're talking about grace. And, you know, we just recently took a trip to a famous celebrity's home. They're no longer living in. And as I'm going through this famous place, you know, and looking at this person's life, and I'm thinking of how much there's a place in our heart that was designed for God worship.
That's right. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All of us were made to know him and to worship him. But if you don't know him and you don't know how much he loves you and you're not worshiping him as your all in all, you'll begin to worship other things. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about this last night, you know, what people, because we're going to read an example of someone who worshiped God that was criticized by the religious experts. But, you know, it's funny when you begin to give your whole life to God mm-hmm. and you begin to worship him with your marriage, your family, your occupation, your money, everything you do,
right.
you get criticized.
Yeah.
But you'll see someone when their favorite sports team wins a championship. Man, they get excited,
sure
you know. But I'm telling you, things have in American culture, there's so many things competing for our worship.
That's right.
And I like sports, you know, and I get excited mm-hmm. when my team wins, but that's about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not gonna lose any sleep over, you know. Because mm-hmm. man, you give your heart to knowing Christ, and don't let a celebrity, don't let music, don't let sports,
stuff.
Don't let your
Things.
Industry, mm-hmm. your family, your marriage, anything compete with your all-out worship of Christ. Mm-hmm. And here's a great example of that. We're getting ready. We're going to worship Christ with our money, and I want to look at someone who did that and was highly criticized for it, and it's the same today, but Luke chapter 7. Let's start in verse 36. One of the Pharisees desired Jesus that he would eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner. So in stark contrast to the religious experts, right? This woman was known to be a sinner. When she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster yep. box
yes.
of ointment. We're going to learn this was worth about 1 year's wages.
That's a lot of money.
1 year's wages. How much do you make in a year? Okay? She brings this in. So she obviously had possession. She obviously had some stuff. And stood at his feet behind Jesus, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears. Now, there's no script for this. This would have been appalling to the religious folks.
Right.
This is a sinner, and she's, what in the world is she doing?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is not appropriate. But when you love him, and you realize how much he loves you, you begin to worship in ways that religion can't understand.
That's right.
So she begins washing his feet with tears and wiping them with the hairs of her head. I want you to see this. Because I've just seen over the years, you know, you start jumping up and down, lift your hands and dancing and shouting, and you get criticized for it. But when you realize how good he is, I mean, but those same people will criticize you for worshiping God, they're at the stadium doing the same thing for their team, you know, but you do it for Jesus and all of a sudden it's on, you know. Well, here's a woman going way beyond jumping up and down. She's on the floor washing his feet with the tears that are streaming from her face and then drying his feet with her hair. Mm-hmm. Are you seeing this? This is a passionate moment.
Right, uh-huh, it's a display.
In front of everybody. Mm-hmm. Wow. I love this. And then she kisses his feet and anoints them with that precious ointment that's worth a year's wages. Now when the Pharisees, which had bidden him, saw it, he spoke within himself saying, this man, if he were for real, if he were a real Christian,
right?
If he were a prophet, he would have known who and what manner of woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Mm-hmm. And Jesus answering said unto them, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he says, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Big difference. Big difference in what they owed. And when they had nothing to pay, the debtor frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him much or most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And Jesus said unto him, you have rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, see this woman? I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet. Now that was the custom in the day because of the streets and the shoes, the sandals they wore, that when they came into a home, their feet were washed to keep the stuff that was in the street right from coming into the home. We don't need to do that today.
Kind of like taking your shoes off at someone's house.
Yeah, it's not a custom today because we have shoes and paved roads and all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So anyway, this is very relevant in Jesus' day. This was a common service that no one did for him. The religious experts didn't do.
No one served him. Mm-hmm.
I entered into your house. You gave me no water for my feet, which is customary in the day. But she has washed my feet with the water from her own body. Mm-hmm. With her tears, mm-hmm, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. She gave what she had. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since this time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman had anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. He's saying to the woman now, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at me, they're getting more mad at him. With him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And this is so powerful. It's just so powerful.
I haven't seen this until just now, listening to you read, but her welcoming of Jesus, because he's saying, I came in your house and nobody did the customary welcome.
Yeah.
But she's welcoming him.
Yeah.
And the giving that she's doing is associated with the welcoming, you know, the honor.
Yes.
And that's what we're doing when we give. We're welcoming him and giving him honor that he rightly deserves, you know.
I just love
the welcoming and the giving.
I love that.
When you welcome Jesus into your life, you give to him. Yeah.
What I love about this woman is there's no script for this. This is as non-religious as you can get.
Yeah.
And it's appalling to religious folks.
Yeah, for sure.
And I bring this up because we want to cultivate this unhindered, hot, free, fresh, passionate relationship with Christ in everyone we meet, where your life is all about how much he loves you, mm-hmm. and you're not doing things out of religious duty. You are welcoming him. You're embracing him. Yes. You're responding to him. You're yes. wiping his feet with yes. your hair. You're kissing his feet. You're giving your year's wages to him. You're worshiping him. Why? Not because of duty. This woman didn't do any of this out of duty. Mm-hmm. She did it because she realized God loved her. Mm-hmm. And I want to encourage you in that, because it's just, I mean, we can become so silly sometimes mm-hmm. in our walk with Christ. We can become religious-minded or works-minded. And the same debates have been coming up, you know, since the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they keep circling around, and one of the debates is, well, I don't think tithing is for today. You won't have any such debate when you begin to worship Christ. Nope. She wasn't saying, well, I don't know. I don't think that I mean, this is a year's worth of wages. No. When you give your everything to Christ, you will begin to worship him with your money. Mm-hmm. It's just that simple. Mm-hmm. There's no law in it. It's hot, amen. Fresh, unhindered love. And this is Luke 7's account, and this account is given to us in different places. It's in Matthew 26, it's in Mark 14. But I just want you to think about this, a year's worth of wages. And I shared with you, I don't know if it was last week, but you know, after I finished doing our taxes, and I need to go back and check the percentages, but I know we gave above 30% mm-hmm. of our income to the kingdom of God
so
last year.
You know,
and
there
that's
are plenty
probably,
of people.
I'd say, we've just, that's probably our highest giving.
Oh, absolutely. That, percentage well, that's wise. Our endeavor is yeah, to go.
And we want
sow
that to increase.
More and more and more.
We're sowing
right, right.
more of our annual revenue
yeah.
into the kingdom of
that's
God.
Right, that's right.
You know,
that's
so we're on our way. We're on our way. We're 30, right. want to go over 40, want to go 50.
That's right.
You know, which is sow into the kingdom. You say, how can you do that? Because he's just so good. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. There's no law motivating that.
Mm-hmm,
don't get caught up in the legalistic debates that swirl around in the body of Christ. Get into this hot, wash his feet with your tears relationship and take your alabaster jar and break it and anoint him with the oil of what of your income. Because that's what she did. And I'm telling you, when you let go like this, and all of a sudden you see your revenue as his provision in your life and you begin to worship him with it, man, you begin to experience Christ at a whole new level. Not because he's changed, because we've welcomed him.
That's right. That's right.
So that's why we do what we do at Highway. That's why we worship him with our money. And I encourage you to meditate on that passage and just put yourself right there and then begin to do what the woman did.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
You can worship the Lord with your money at Highway Church by going to our website, highwaychurch.us, and simply click on give. And that will take you, it's an excellent giving page there. They have a lot of different ways that you can give. You can schedule recurring gifts. You can give assets, stocks, property. You can give via Cash App, you know, PayPal, whatever way you want, text. And we encourage you to do that. But again, don't do it out of duty. Do it out of love and passion. And just welcome Christ and worship him with all that you are. Hallelujah. He's so, so good. And we want to encourage you, if Highway Church is your church, we want to encourage you, don't stay on the sidelines. Jump in. Fully participate with your faith. Be with us weekly. We got a Bible study coming up on Wednesday, and we're going to continue with Sure and Certain. And we've got live stream worship services on Sundays. Plug in, hear the word, worship with us, receive the scriptures, the message that we preach, and meditate in the truth of who he is, what he's done for you and who you are in him. And be faithful in your giving. Let's do this thing. Let's follow the model that was set before us in the New Testament church. If you're not a member of Highway Church, and maybe you're already a member of a vibrant church, but you're benefiting from the ministry of Highway Church, that's awesome. We encourage you to prayerfully consider about partnering with us. How do you do that? You simply go to our website, highwaychurch.us, click on give, and schedule a recurring gift to let us know, okay, I'm partnering with you guys. I believe in the message of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, who you are in him, and I want this thing to spread and to grow and increase. and that would be awesome. Let everyone know, too, before we pray, we are about to do our first in-person worship service in Tulsa, Oklahoma. This is, we're so excited about that. So, and it's coming up two Sundays from now, May 5th at 9:30 a.m. Mm-hmm. Central Time mm-hmm. at the Alt Room, which is right off of 51st mm-hmm. in Mid-City, Tulsa. And we invite you, if you're in the area and you're looking to grow and experience Christ in a greater way, we want to invite you to come on out and join us for a fabulous celebration of the grace of God. So that is Sunday, May 5th, 9:30 a.m. Central Time at the Alt Room in Mid-City, Tulsa.
So for those of you who are accustomed to joining us online, it'll be a difference of a half hour.
Yeah, absolutely. 30 minutes difference. So, right, mm-hmm, we will still mm-hmm. be streaming.
Yes.
Online, mm-hmm. but instead of beginning at
the hour,
we're going to move 30 minutes later mm-hmm. and begin 30 minutes later. So mm-hmm. 9:30 a.m.
So we'll be Central excited Time. To have you yeah. guys join us there as well. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. Let's do this. Mm-hmm. Let's mm-hmm. go all the way. Don't forfeit the dream God's put in your heart. Father, we come before you this morning, and Lord, we worship you. Lord, we worship and adore you. We give our whole lives to you, our today and every tomorrow, because you're God, and no one loves us like you do. No one has demonstrated faithfully to us love like you have. So, Lord, with our tears and our hair and our lives and our wages, we worship you today. Receive our tithes and offerings and be glorified in every area of our lives. And Father, let this glorious gospel of grace spread like wild, uncontrollable fire all throughout America and the world. In Jesus' name, amen. God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of his goodness, who he is, what he's done for you, and who you are in him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life he came to give you.